Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. Let me remind you that each day as we face the issues, the program is designed around you, our listener. It is designed on a Q&A format. That is, you can call in, ask the questions, allow us to respond. You can participate in the subject of the day or other subject that you might want to bring up, that we might discuss it as it relates to biblical truth. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It's called the Book of Truth. I say to people, you need to have a central biblicist worldview. People have asked in years gone by, well, are you an Arminianist or are you a Calvinist? I say, neither. I'm just a central biblicist. And I had one recently say, well, what does that mean? That just simply means that notwithstanding what other dogmas and other philosophies and other ideological bents may say, I choose to simply believe the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Let me commend that book to you. It is the Bible. The Bible is the truth book. Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. Then Jesus made a dogmatic statement in John 14:6. He says, I am truth. And then a further revelation of truth, Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to seek the truth, study the truth. It was George Orwell many years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I've said many times of late, if you don't believe that statement is true, watch Nancy Pelosi and AOC and the squad and those that are out to destroy America, and you will understand that. I am encouraged by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement. Faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. Defend the truth, even to death. So that's my challenge to you today, is, ladies and gentlemen, that you seek the truth and listen to the truth and learn the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. Defend the truth. And that's what we ought to do. This program, ladies and gentlemen, is designed to defend the truth. And what we say is based on the authority of Scripture and not ideological, philosophical, something that is, how would you say, spun up from a denominational dogma with its rites and rituals and rules and regulations. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Full line of professional power equipment, including that for the homeowner as well as for the professional landscaper, including hurricane preparedness equipment and generators, with a full line of generators and a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup and about the equipment that is sold at Tools for Time. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's right where the gigantic flag, Old Glory, flies 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that I think demands to be discussed, And to the degree and extent that you would like to jump in the dialogue and discussion and talk about it, I urge you to do so. We're going to be talking about today the question, should religious liberties be offensive? Should religious liberties be offensive? That's a powerful question. It demands to be analyzed, scrutinized, and answered. And an answer that I believe ought to be from every Christian in the world today, especially here in America. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join the dialogue and discussion today by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can entertain your question or comment. Ladies and gentlemen, in fact, let me remind you, the scripture says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness, that is rightness before God, exalteth, that means lifts up to glorify a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I think we've forgotten some of the text scripture references in our Bible in relationship to that. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue and the in-depth dialogue and discussion about that subject, should religious liberties be offensive? By the way, the answer to that is no, not on your life. They ought not to be, but they have become that today. In fact, we've become a secularized nation, a secularized church today that I believe brings about the problems that we'll be discussing. Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, may I suggest that we say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for the acquittal of our president with no impeachment. Yet the Nancy Pelosi, the child image that we see on television, she is showing her temper tantrum by tearing up the president's speech. We ought to be thankful that it's God in charge and not Nancy Pelosi and the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats. Ladies and gentlemen, Pelosi should be charged with the destruction of federal property. I don't know if you're aware of this. Let me just elaborate a moment. The speech that President Trump gave her was one of two copies, one that he was had on his podium in front of him and the one that he gave her, both signed by the president, both federal official documents. The document that Nancy Pelosi shredded in her hands on public television were federal documents to go into the federal registry to record the speech by the president. In fact, one of the legislators has already requested a new one be printed. He's already gotten it signed by the president so that it can be officially recorded. I think that Nancy Pelosi somehow thought that if she were to shred it, it would not go on record. I think she needs to be charged with the destruction of federal property. And there are several criminal codes that she violated in what she's done. But she said it was the loving thing to do, the kind thing to do, or something like that in relationship to it. It reveals the animus and the hatred in the woman's heart for President Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, we must recognize the need as to what we have just witnessed. We need to recognize the need to vote November the 3rd of this year. I think it's about 271 days before election time this year. That'll be upon us before we can turn around. But I believe our president has done more for religious liberties, the freedom of speech, and for Christian freedom than any modern president in this era. I believe that. Now, you can counter that. If you want to call in and disagree, that's wonderful. I'm not going to be disagreeable, but I'd love to hear on what basis you would disagree. Just yesterday morning, ladies and gentlemen, in President Trump's remarks at the National Prayer Breakfast, President Trump said, and I quote, "We are creating a culture that protects religious freedom," and that he has done since he has been in office. Even with the, how would you say, the bullets flying each and every day, with the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats trying to undermine and destroy, all that our president's gone through in the past 3 years has been that which has been spun up, ginned up, manufactured. It was nothing real, nothing relevant, nothing that had any teeth in it whatsoever, but they tried to use it to destroy him. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, listen, if I can tuck this in, I believe the focus of Satan in trying to destroy President Donald J. Trump is because of President Trump's attempt to do that which is right biblically for the church, for the Christian, and for religious liberties. Every Christian, every religious ministry should stand for truth of God's word and our president in the fight for religious liberties and the protection of our First Amendment rights, notwithstanding our Second Amendment rights also. Here's an article. It says, President Trump at prayer breakfast calls out every dishonest and corrupt people. The White House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sitting just a few feet away. President Trump ripped into his very dishonest and corrupt Democratic Party foes at the annual national prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C. on Thursday. Quote, they have done everything possible to destroy us, and by so doing, they have badly hurt our nation, he said. They know what they're doing is wrong. They put themselves far ahead of our great country. Quote, I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong, he said in an apparent reference to Mitt Romney, the only Republican to vote guilty on the articles of impeachment. Quote, nor do I like people who say I pray for you when they know that that is not so, he said. It is Pelosi who repeatedly has claimed that she is praying for the president. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a charade, and as I understand from Jerry Nadler just yesterday in one of his interviews, he says that they're intending to pursue John Bolton, to subpoena him and hopefully get something out of that to be able to proceed with another impeachment process. When Jerry Nadler was asked, well, have you asked Nancy Pelosi, has she given permission for that? In a very sheepish down look, he said, no, not yet. I think they'll be absolute idiots, if I can use that term, if they pursue it. But I believe that they're going to do so because they will try to impede in some way President Donald J. Trump's reelection campaign. But ladies and gentlemen, suffice it to say by way of introductory remarks, we need to pray and be thankful that God has given us a president. Now, I understand there are a lot of these mamsy-pamsy do-gooders, goody-goody two-shoes, pious and above that, that say that, well, look at his language, look at what he says. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we elect a president, we do not vote for Jesus as president. We're looking at fallible human beings that goes into office. Look at how God so mightily used King David, and yet look at David's record as a human being in his humanity. And I'm not authorizing it. I'm not saying that that's good. I'm not saying that it is commendable, but I am saying that God uses men. When you look at Daniel, in particular, to the fifth chapter and following, you find that it's very, very clear that God is the one that's in charge of putting a person in office and removing him from office. And so it is God's doing, and I'm thankful that God has done that at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, just think what it would be like without our freedom of speech and our religious liberties. Think what it would be like today if that were not possible, if we did not have that. Think about what we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, in our society. Our churches are becoming secularized. Secular music, secular morals that embrace the LGBTQ agenda, secular morals that embrace the homosexual movement and the abortion by way, and murder by way of abortion. Secular focus and not on spiritual in so many of our churches today. Ladies and gentlemen, our society has become secularized. The language is secularized. Television, movies, and programs are secularized. We have the secularization of all of society with the drugs and the drinking and the demonic activity, abortion, the LGBTQ agenda. We're living in what seems to be a steamroller, a juggernaut rolling across America to secularize everything in America today. In fact, it was Dr. James Dobson that just said, in response to the sleazy garbage that was on the, and I didn't see it. I've seen film clips of it on television replayed by the media. But the secular sleaze that was on the Super Bowl at halftime, Dr. James Dobson on Super Bowl sleaze, quote, have we lost our minds? Evangelical Christian leader James Dobson says it's time for parents to stand up against the kind of sleaze displayed during the Super Bowl halftime show. Quote, on Sunday, Fox Sports and NFL offered up a sexual smorgasbord, and the halftime show was the main course, said Dobson. The founder focused on the family, the James Dobson Family Institute and Family Talk Show. Quote, in the last 2 days, I've seen outrage from a few select commentators and Christians. But overwhelmingly, I've witnessed the Super Bowl shoulder shrug. Responses range from the timid justification, "It wasn't that bad," to the defiant proclamation, "It's a celebration of Latino culture," he said, end quote. Further quote, Dr. Dobson says, "Let me be very clear. Pole dancing, sex simulation, and crotch shots are not a celebration of Latino culture. They're a celebration of our hypersexualized culture. I regard the need to be, I regret the need to be so graphic, but have we collectively lost our minds?" End quote. And ladies and gentlemen, I can answer that question. Yes, we have. And I find, ladies and gentlemen, there's so many today that are Christians and that watch that and think nothing about it and think that it's all right. But ladies and gentlemen, it's because of the secularization of our nation, the secularization in our churches, the secularization of society, and as a result of that, the secularization of our minds, that we do not see any difference. We've become so secularized and desensitized as to evil and that which is taking place that permeates American society today, even in our churches, that we are not offended by it anymore. In fact, I've said often, many, many years ago, you could drive across America and you enter into a new county and you'd have the signs on the side of the road that would say, "Welcome to such and such a county," or say, whatever city. And it would be listing then the welcome coming from all of the churches of every denomination listed at the entrance to the city. And today it is rare, if at all, to be able to find signs such as that because of the secularization of society. Should religious liberties be offensive? The answer is no. But they are offensive today because we have so desensitized our nation and so secularized all that we do that it's become an offense. When a Christian says, "The Word of God says this," it's become an offense when a Christian prays in Jesus' name. It's become an offense when we have the cross that's seen in a visible place. It's an offense today when a child takes his Bible to school. It's an offense today when the Bible is open and visible. It's an offense today when there's an open prayer in any public setting or any political scenario. It seems to be offensive, and it ought not to be. Just think of what America would be like without our freedom of speech today and our religious liberties. Today it appears that the secularization of society and the secularists within our society dominate and are demeaning Christians and as a result demanding that Christians be silent. The secularized culture today, in fact coming from some within so-called religious organizations, are saying that Christians ought to be silent. In fact, there's some national radio broadcasters today that are Christian preachers that are saying that Christians ought not to be involved in politics. You ought not to say anything. We just need to be silent and talk about Jesus. And as I call it, go around with a bed sheet over our head and the eye holes cut out, stand on the sidewalk, passing out gospel tracts and saying, "Praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a whole lot wrong with it if you think that's all that a Christian should do. We ought to be involved in the war that's taking place as Christians. We ought to recognize that when we sing that song, "Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching as to War, with the cross of Jesus going on before," we need to recognize that we are, in fact, in a battle, and it's a battle for the soul of a nation. You said, "Sounds like you're passionate about that." Yes, I am. I'm passionate about it because we have so many Christians that are silent. Passionate about it because I have so many pastors that are silent. I'm passionate about it because it seems that as the secularized society demands that Christians have simply gone in the closet, locked the door, and thrown the key away. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that the mindset that Christians ought to stay in the closet, stay in their churches, and there are a lot of folks today that have a philosophy in a secularized society that it's okay for you to be a goody-goody good-two-shoes. It's okay for you to be a pious Charlie. It's okay for you to read the Bible. It's okay for you to study the Scripture. It's all right for you to pray as long as you do all of that within the walls of your church. Ladies and gentlemen, God never intended the church to be hidden. God intends for us to be light and salt. And as salt and light, we're out in society preserving the decay. As light, we're in society showing light and illuminating darkness. And that's what we ought to do. It's what we ought to be. But we are to be heard we're to be seen. But the secular say you're not to be heard, you're not to be seen, you're to be silenced and sequestered in your closet. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Youngblood. You tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. You're encouraged to call 831-0917, 831-0917. What is your position on this issue? Do you believe that the Christians ought to be silent? Do you believe that religious liberties and freedom of speech for the Christian ought to be something that is countered and contravened in some fashion, that we're to be in the closet and the lights turned out and the key thrown away? What do you think about that? Attorney General William Barr made a statement very recently, very clearly. In a recent statement, he spoke on the issue about religious liberties and the freedom and how the secularists are trying to destroy it. I don't know if you heard that speech or not. Wonderful, wonderful comments. Listen, let me read it to you, a portion at least. Department of Justice Attorney General William Barr. Militant secularists are trying to impose their values on believers. Now, preacher didn't say that. Church didn't say that. Denominational distinctive did not say that. Attorney General William Barr made that statement. Let me read you part of, that was the headline, dated February the 1st, 2020. He says, militant secularists across America long have charged that religious people are imposing their views on them. But it's actually the other way around, contended Attorney General William Barr in an interview. He says, I feel today religion is being driven out of the marketplace of ideas. There is an organized militant secular effort to drive religion out of our lives, end quote. Further, Attorney General William Barr made this statement. To me, the problem today is not the religious people are trying to impose their views on non-religious people. It's the opposite way. It's the militant secularists that are trying to impose their values on religious people, and they're not accommodating the freedom of religion of people of faith. End quote. Let me read you that last three-sentence paragraph once again. William Barr, Attorney General, said to me the problem today is not that religious people are trying to impose their views on non-religious people. It's the opposite. It's that militant secularists are trying to impose their values on religious people, and they're not accommodating freedom of religion of people of faith, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly a summary of where we are in America today. That's the summarized statement, and it couldn't have been more succinctly stated or more succinctly given than that which William Barr said. It is that the secularists are trying to impose their values of drugs and drinking and immorality, their values based on the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, their values based on murder by way of abortion, their values based on banishing the Bible from the classroom in the public school arena, their values trying to banish the crosses in public view, their values trying to force Christian bakers and Christian businessmen and Christian florists to bake cakes and prepare marriage ceremonies for the sodomite lifestyle marriages that are being forced in society today. Yes, William Barr is exactly right. But the question begs to be asked and answered. Should religious liberties be offensive? And it seems that that is the case today, ladies and gentlemen. It seems that the religious liberties, the freedom that I have to do exactly what I'm doing now on this broadcast, the freedom that we have to preach and teach the whole truth of the Word of God from the pulpits across America, is offensive to the secularist. Now, I grew up in the country less than 100 years ago. We had horse shows, but the donkeys weren't offended by the horse shows. Yet we have the donkeys being offended today because of the horse shows, if you want to use that analogy, of the Christians taking a stand and being heard and being seen. There's a mindset somehow, some way, that Christians ought to be silenced, ought to be unseen, and have nothing to do with the policies and the procedures. This is the reason the secularists, the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats get upset when a Christian candidate runs for office. That's the reason they get upset when the Christians, the majority of Christians in America, vote for President Donald J. Trump. They're upset when Christians applaud the fact that President Trump was not impeached. They get upset and they say that it's offensive when Christians take a stand and talk about morals and ethics and values. because it is antithetical to the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats, and the secularization of society. It is in total opposition to what they think, feel, and what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says the University of Kentucky has apologized after a public records request produced documents showing the university employees mocking a Christian conservative student organization. Ladies and gentlemen, that's happening across America in every one of our government-controlled, taxpayer-funded colleges and universities and schools across our nation. This is the reason I've said for many years, I believe that it's time that Christians decide that we're not going to tolerate the demoralization and the secularization of the minds and the hearts and the lives of our sons and daughters and our grandkids when we send them off to the public universities and colleges. I think that it's a sad, sad shame that they come back then having a credential in their hand and being brainwashed and believing that somehow, some way, Christian moms and Christian dads and Christian grandparents are somehow wrong because of our stand on morals and ethics and values. Here's an article that says Democrats push mandatory sexual and transsexual curriculum for kindergartners. Dateline January the 20th, 2020. Progressives have a habit of wanting to tell people how to live, and that includes telling them how to raise their children. Citizens of Washington State have told their government they do not want their children starting in kindergarten to participate in comprehensive sexual health education. But the state's Democrats believe that they know better. The legislation, House Bill 2184, is designed to address issues like affirmative consent, but also includes lessons that address the LGBTQ students. And this is even after a survey conducted by the state's Comprehensive Sexual Health Education Work Group showed that 54%, a majority, do not want sex education taught to children from kindergarten through the fifth grade. But the CSHE ignored this survey because mandatory sexual education is an issue of equality and would help to ensure all students across the state receive quality, evidence-informed instruction regardless of who they are or where they live. Quote, the government bureaucrats running the survey know better than the parents for their children, end quote. And that's the secularist mindset. And that's the mindset and that's the agenda of the secularists that are found in Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party today. It's the mindset that we're going to train your children, whether you want to or not. We're going to teach them all of the immoral, ungodly, unholy acts that they are presenting in our schools and the classrooms. We're asking the question today, ladies and gentlemen, should religious liberties be offensive? And the answer to that is unequivocally no. And we ought not sit back in silence and allow us to be beaten up in some way, berated and accused of taking a stand. In fact, you've heard the old cliche so long that morals cannot be legislated. But ladies and gentlemen, morals are being legislated today. And it's the immorality that is being legislated, not morals before God, but immorals before God, and it's being legislated. That's what's offensive to me, and it should be offensive to every child of God, should be offensive to every Christian, should be offensive to every church, should be offensive to every pastor. But nevertheless, it is the religious liberties and the freedom of speech that we have that is afforded us in the First Amendment that is offensive to our detractors, to those that hate God and hate anything that's godly and hate the church. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, lesbian Michigan attorney general accused of using tyranny to suppress biblical marriage beliefs. And I'll read that in just a moment, but I want us to understand there's a major danger for us to continue to sit back in silence and say and do nothing when we're watching this take place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, should religious liberties be offensive? We're going to take about a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for our news. After that, we're going to come back and continue this thought today, asking the question, should religious liberties be offensive? Looking forward to joining you after the break. Hang in there. Don't turn that dial.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.